It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. And we're talking about the Grace Revolution on Fresh Oil. You say, boy, Keith, what does that mean? A revolution. Well, I believe that God's grace, when we begin to perceive it, it's so radical, it's like experiencing a revolution in our life. It takes us out of the performance trap of trying to be good enough and trying to earn His favor into experiencing God's divine power in our life that really empowers us to live out what His grace calls us to do. Today, we're going to talk about spreading that revolution. You see, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." My friend, the grace revolution, it's not just a personal experience, but it's a divine movement that has the power to transform individuals, to change churches, communities, and entire nations. God's grace was never meant to be contained. It's limitless. It has life-giving force that breaks chains and restores hearts, and it draws people into an intimate relationship with God. Jesus didn't come to bring religion. He came to bring relationship and to restore our relationship with the Father that was lost in the Garden of Eden. You see, every day God would come down in the cool of the garden and He would walk with Adam and Eve. And then sin, it broke that fellowship. Jesus didn't come to just bring grace to a select few. He came to extend it to the entire world. And His invitation is not for the religious elite or those who think they've earned it. It is for the broken, the lost, the sinners, and the weary. And as recipients of that grace, we're not just called to enjoy it, but I believe we're called to spread it. I've devoted the last 40 years of my life of spreading the grace revolution. You see, how do we share grace in a world that so often misunderstands it and turns it into religion? How do we bring the message of freedom to those who've been bound by years of legalism? They've lived in guilt and that performance-based treadmill faith. They get on the treadmill of performance, trying to be good enough where one day God will accept them. How do we extend grace to even those who reject it? They're too afraid to step into God's grace. Well, today we're going to be going deeper into what it means to spread the grace revolution and how we can bring God's message of this radical love for mankind to a world that so desperately needs His grace. See, friend, grace is not just a message, it's a mission. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He gave His disciples a clear command: go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. The gospel's not a message of condemnation. It's not the law. It's the message of grace. The gospel means good news. And it is the good news that Jesus has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Unfortunately, many people today have only heard a distorted version of the gospel, one that emphasizes rules and performance and fear rather than love, freedom, and grace. And that is why so many people today have rejected Christianity, because not because they've really rejected Jesus, but because they've never truly encountered His grace. You see, if we spread the grace revolution, it's not just an option for believers, it's our mission. If we've been transformed by grace, and we have a responsibility then to share it with those who are still trapped in religious bondage, or the lost in a world without hope. Sometimes people look at me strange when they say, "Oh, I see you're religious." And I say, "No, I'm not religious. I just have a relationship with God." You see, sharing grace is not about standing on a street corner with a megaphone. It's not about forcing people into faith, but it's about living and breathing and embodying grace in such a way that people see it in our lives and they're drawn to it and they want it. They want to experience and encounter it. See, we are called to live as a carrier of grace. We're not just called to talk about grace, but we're called to demonstrate it. I love 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. It says this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." You see, an ambassador represents the kingdom that they belong to. We are representatives of a kingdom of grace. And that means that when people look at us, they should see the nature of Jesus, his kindness, his compassion, and his unconditional love. You know, a young man named Daniel was appointed as an ambassador for his country, and before he left for his assignment in a foreign land, the king personally met with him and said, "Now, Daniel, remember that you're not just representing yourself, you're representing me. So your words, your actions, and your character, it should reflect the values of our kingdom." So Daniel took his responsibility seriously, and in the foreign land, people watched him closely. And when he spoke with wisdom and grace, just as a king would, when he made decisions, he did it with justice and kindness. And some people misunderstood him and others opposed him. But many people saw something different in him, something noble and something greater than themselves. And one day a local leader asked, "Why do you act this way? Why are you not like others?" And Daniel smiled and he said, "Because I am not here for myself. I'm here to represent my king." You see, as believers, we are Christ's ambassadors and we're representing his kingdom, his grace, his love to show it to the world. And we don't live for ourselves, but we live as messengers of that kingdom. And when people look at us, they should see a reflection of Jesus, how we speak, how we forgive, and most of all, how we love, because God is love. And we've been given that love to share with the world. An ambassador doesn't speak on his own authority, but carries the words of the one who sent him. And so it is with our mission for the kingdom of God. We carry the message of God's grace to a world in need of reconciliation. Yes, some people will reject it, but others, they're going to misunderstand it. But many will see something different in us. They're going to see a glimpse of the kingdom of God. How do you represent Christ in your daily life, friend? Do your words and actions reflect the grace of the King that you're serving? Remember, you may be the only ambassador that some people are ever going to see, and their view of God is going to be what they see in you. So how do we live as ambassadors of grace? First of all, we need to show radical forgiveness. The world operates on a system of revenge, resentment, and keeping score. But as people of grace, we forgive even when it's undeserved. That's radical. Jesus forgave us completely, and we are called to extend that same grace to others. And then we need to speak words of life. Instead of judgment and criticism, people are listening to the words we speak. So our words should be filled with encouragement, filled with hope, and filled with restoration. See, we're called to build people up and not tear them down. And we're called to love without conditions. Jesus loved sinners. He loved the outcast. He reached out to the woman at the well, to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and to the broken without requiring them to clean up first. So if we want to spread the grace revolution, we have to love before people change and not after. We can't be afraid to get our hands dirty by reaching out to the lost and loving them. We need to display grace under pressure. That's so important because the world's watching us and how we respond with trials, offenses, and injustices. And when we respond with grace instead of anger, when we show patience instead of irritation, when we show kindness instead of retaliation when they hurt us, what we do is we reveal the power of grace in action. And then we give grace to ourselves. And that's important too, because many Christians struggle to share grace because they haven't fully received it for themselves. We have to learn to rest in grace before we can ever extend it to other people. And then thirdly, we got to break down the walls of legalism. See, one of the greatest obstacles to spreading the grace revolution, it's legalism, which is so rampant in our world. That belief that we have to earn God's love through our performance. See, legalism keeps people chained to religion instead of releasing them into relationship with God. How do we break the grip of legalism in our life and over the people that we minister to? Well, first of all, you got to teach the true gospel. Many people have been raised under a works-based version of Christianity, and we must clearly and boldly declare that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 are some of the most important verses you could ever memorize. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of works, not by ourselves. It's a gift of God so that nobody can boast. And then, friend, we have to love people out of religion and into relationship. Instead of arguing or condemning, we just simply show love. The goodness of God leads men to repentance, not theological debates. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that. We have to model freedom. When people see joyful, grace-filled believers, they begin to realize what they're missing. Our lives should make people hungry for grace. Jesus confronted legalism constantly. The Pharisees and the scribes were constantly debating and trying to come after him, and Jesus would confront them. He didn't do it with harsh debates. He did it by demonstrating grace and revealing the heart of the Father. If we want to break down the walls of legalism, we have to do the same. And then take grace to the world. The grace revolution is not just for the church, it's for the world. Jesus didn't preach in the synagogues. He went to the streets, to the homes, and to the marketplaces. He met people where they were. How do we bring grace into everyday life? First of all, into our workplaces, by being people of integrity, refusing to gossip, and show kindness to those who are difficult to be around. Show grace in our own families by extending patience and forgiveness and unconditional love, even when it's undeserved. And even on our social media, by using our platforms to speak life and not division. The world is filled with negativity, so we can be a voice of grace. And in our communities, by serving others with no strings attached, simply reflecting the love of Jesus. Let me wind up today by saying, with this gospel of grace, we need to trust God to do the work. Spreading grace is not about forcing people to believe or agree with us. It's about planting seeds and allowing God to make those seeds to grow. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow." Our role is to share grace boldly, not to be ashamed of the gospel, and then love people when they're trusting that will change their hearts. Be patient, because transformation takes time, and God's timing is perfect. See, grace is so powerful, friend. Once a person experiences it, you never are the same. This is not just another movement I'm talking about today. You and I are called to be a part of the grace revolution. The grace revolution is about bringing people out of religion and into relationship with God. I've so enjoyed sharing with you this week on The Grace Revolution, my new book, available on Amazon.com. Walk in Grace. He loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.